Gimel. We're doing Sefer Amidot, we're on page Gimel. The Magen Midovna had said that the book Chovat HaLevavot is such an important work, but we lose some understanding because it's translated, and we lose some because we learn it piecemeal, and you have to learn it a whole chapter at a time. It's like a doctor gives you medication, and you take a tiny amount throughout the day. It's never going to have any impact. And the same is true with the Chovat HaLevavot. Aval mi yiten, we're continuing 8 lines from the bottom on page Gimel, the third page, Gimel. Aval mi yiten, eifo v'yu nikrim adorim ha'ikarim ele b'cholet. But I wish people would read these precious words of the Chovat HaLevavot constantly, gam him, gam ha'beorim ha'nechmadim asher nilvo alehem, be it the work of the Rabbeinu Bechaye, the Chovat HaLevavot, or the commentaries that are there. Ulam shenet achla gam svarim yikarim ka'ele. But the truth is that the time has masticated precious works like these as well. Gam ha'ish asher nimtza ito ha'chiburim ha'teorim ha'meirim ka'sapirim ha'miyashrim libo pnei adam b'midot v'dot. Even someone who actually owns these beautiful works that shine and help a person straighten their heart. Bevet eked ha'sfarim shama noad lehem makom. They end up sitting on the bookshelf. They're covered with spider webs and they're wearing away on the shelf. They don't really have an impact. He says, I don't know why the Chovat HaLevavot is different than a person's book of accounting. When people want to keep track of their checkbook, it's open in front of them all the time. Or in our day, we would say our computer is open nonstop. People usually only shut their computer for Shabbos. They turn it on Motzei Shabbos, they turn it off Friday afternoon. It's on all the time. You come in, you come out. Yeah. Maybe I'll see something new in my inbox. There are things that we're constantly attached to. He says, well, that's the way Chovat HaLevavot should be. It should be open on the table all the time. Umagam, machber tachovot asherim chovot alevavot alu al kapayim tisayehu. A person should really carry that book around with them. Aluach levavcha tisimehu. It should be placed on one's heart. Kachotam alibecha, kachotam al zeroecha, like a seal on one's heart or one's arm. V'ichayin lenafshecha, rifut lishrecha, v'shikui la'atzmotecha. And it would give life to a person, it would give health to a person, it would saturate one's bones. So he says there's a tremendous work out there. Notice before he's discussing why he wrote his work, he's saying there's a very nice book out there called the Chovat HaLevavot, and I highly recommend it. That's what he said so far. Now we're on page Dalet. Achen shavti v'ra'iti. But what I've seen is that even the books that are open before you, people are very careful to keep note of what other people owe them. And very often they don't bother writing down what they owe others. But I want you to know that when you owe other people, the reason you're not so concerned to be on top of it is, because you know he's going to follow up on you. You don't write down when's my electric bill supposed to be coming in, because you know the electric company is sending you a bill. You don't write down when's my water bill coming. It's a funny thing, I don't know if this goes on in the United States, but in Israel this happens. Sometimes they forget to bill you. The electric company doesn't send you a bill, and then the next month they give you a double whammy, and they charge you interest, and you say, wait, I didn't get the bill. And they say, well, why didn't you call us? Didn't you notice you didn't get an electric bill? What, you thought you'd be using electricity for free? And this happens often, and you wonder, wait a second, you send me a bill every month. You didn't send me the bill last month. I didn't pay attention, right? So that's what he's saying. We don't keep track of what we owe. We use the electric, and we don't keep track how much do I owe. We use the water. We don't keep track how much we owe. We have an interesting system. The apartment we rent, has two gauges, meaning there's a counter on our apartment and a counter on the landlord. But for some reason, the electric company at this point doesn't send two separate bills. They send one bill, and then we divide it. I'm not sure why. Why isn't that fair?
Because maybe you
use more. No, so we have a gauge on our apartment. We see how much we use. Oh, okay. But I never know when he gets the bill. He sends it to me when he gets it, but I never know when he'll get it. So what happens is, every so often, I go to the counter, and I do the calculations myself. How much do we owe now? And it's a completely different feel than getting a bill in the mail. looking at the counter and seeing the numbers as they've moved is totally different than getting a bill and you don't even know how many kilowatts did I use this month or last month. It surprised me. Now that I'm doing it for 2 years, I see, hey, wait, it's different. You suddenly feel the electric you're using. But he says, most often we don't keep track. We don't keep track, and we wait for the electric company to send us that bill. And what happens if he forgets? If the electric company forgets a bill for a month, and then you're going to be okay with that, right? So they didn't charge me this month. Good for me. But he says, you should know what you owe your Creator. No one's forgetting. And even though time passes, there's a very accurate accounting firm up there. K'ma'amar, as the verse says, we say in prayer on Rosh Hashanah, Ata zocher ma'aseh olam. When we come, when we speak in prayer, we say, Hashem, we know you remember everything that's ever happened. Ki en shichecha lifnei chisei chavodecha ve'nista meneg denecha. You don't forget, and nothing's hidden from you. U'matov la'adam shiachishpon hazeh leneg denav tamid. So it would be fitting that a person should keep that accounting before him constantly. Lo yitalem mimenu rega. A person should really be thinking about that. And it should sound pleasant to him when someone actually comes and tells him, you know, you should be doing X or Y differently. He's helping him. And when someone comes and gives a speech to the masses, so really we should look forward to that speech. They're trying to give rain, so to speak, on our hearts to produce bounty of the sense of awe of heaven. They're giving us rain that's actually enlightening from the wellsprings of their wisdom. That's the way it used to be in the days of the prophets and the Tanaim. The verse says, what did Samuel the prophet do? Shmuel would travel Israel. And wherever he came, he ensured there was justice and guidance. And over time, where the Jewish people have plummeted from where we used to be, we're no longer where we used to be. We no longer have people with that understanding. The people who could give us advice and counsel, we're left without them. To the point where the gates of wisdom are almost shut. The paths, the people who could come and give us wisdom and understanding, we hardly find them. And you don't find someone coming into town and saying, I'm giving a great speech, I'm going to arouse people to do tshuva. It used to be that they'd have that. They'd have the magidim. People would travel and give inspirational speeches. And he says, you don't find it anymore. So he's talking 300 years ago, right? He lived in the time of the Gra. Okay, so he says, we're short. But he's going to say, you know what? We have one great thing, and that is this great work. This the printer wrote this introduction. How fortunate we are that we have this book from the Magen Midovna. This was all an intro of the printer. And we're going to skip the rest of his intro. We're going to move forward to the book itself.